Continuing in our practice today, again I'd like to offer a few reflections in regard to what we're doing before we begin the formal meditation. But it can also be useful, as I think maybe I mentioned yesterday, to really consciously establish oneself in one's body. And you may notice that even with quite a lot of attention in the body, we can still hear and understand. And we can also be sensitive to the responses we may experience to what we're hearing, if there are any. And this is a useful practice, to listen with presence, with mindfulness, with awareness. In the practice of insight meditation, we begin with the emphasis on simplifying, of starting to invite a possibility of some space within our experience by not picking up so much of what is happening, consciously choosing and intending to turn towards the simple and rather slow-moving processes of the body, sitting, walking, standing, breathing, as a support for a settling and a grounding of heart and mind. And this process of gathering is something that can always be deepened, is always beneficial. And as we settle and become more able to connect, more open and sensitive again, we start to be able to practice with both a wider range of experience and also the more subtle depths and dimensions of our experience. So although the instruction is still to use the breath and the body, the sense of sitting in the sitting meditation and breathing, as the primary reference, and to know with this that if at some time the breath is very quiet and it can become quiet, we can maybe just pay attention more to the felt sense of the body sitting, the contact of the bottom on the earth, the upright quality of the torso, and the sense of relaxation, particularly in places that we tend to hold, or the holding there may be in those places, such as the shoulders, where we commonly carry tension, many of us, and can yet also feel the way, as we relax, gravity begins to gently draw the shoulders down naturally. So continuing to use that as a central reference, the breathing, the body sitting. As we become quieter, sometimes the breath becomes quieter, as I said, and this is helpful because the attention must then slowly become and organically develop greater sensitivity. And it is a remarkably sensitive, we could say, organ, this capacity for attentiveness. It can become remarkably refined over time. And we're not trying to get to some particular place or measure or evaluate just how refined it has become or how steady it has become, but just practicing in such a way as to support the deepening of those capacities. Deepening in the sensitivity and the stability of our attention. As the stability increases through simply coming back again and again and again, we're more able to meet the range of experience that is here without being so quickly drawn into our thoughts about it or our reactions to it. We start to be able to hear a sound as just a sound. and whether it be the sound of a bird that we might find rather sweet and imagine its music to my ears. I could just listen all day. If that bird would just keep singing its song, my meditation would be so good, we might think. Or there might be the sound of a noise, maybe mechanical noise, maybe the air conditioning, maybe the sound of someone moving, and we think it's a noise, it's a distraction, I don't like it. We start to see the reactivity that we add to the simple experience of hearing, and we learn to just experience the sound. And if there is reactivity, to simply experience the reactivity. When craving or desire for some experience to arise or to go away, if this comes into our experience, we should, or we are served, it is helpful to notice it. And notice that this too is an experience. It doesn't mean we have to pursue what it is we think we want, or get rid of what it is we believe we do not want. We can just notice that experience too, and not be carried away by it. And so then sound is just sound. It is not noise or music. Because noise is the sound, is what we call sounds we don't like, and we think they shouldn't be here. Music is what we call sounds we do like, and mostly we're quite happy to have some. Of course, sometimes music becomes noise, as we've perhaps noticed. But also noise can become music when we are free from the habit of identifying with our reactivity to it. Also the body at times will call our attention. We will find places of comfort or discomfort, pleasure or pain arising in our experience. And we can allow the attention to go to these experiences, just for a few moments initially, perhaps. If pain arises in your body, it's important to be respectful, to not imagine that somehow you have to force yourself to ignore it, because this is not wise at all. But it also doesn't mean that every time there is some discomfort, we move or react. If your nose is itchy, it will not damage you. There is no danger to your health or well-being or happiness. And sometimes just to let the nose be itchy is a wonderful practice, not an easy one. But just, you don't have to scratch the itch. Just feel it. What's it like to feel something that says, do something about me, and not feel you have to do something about it? Because the world is full of such things. And this is a good place to practice. It may be that we experience some discomfort in a part of our body and we're not sure if it's actually harmful to us, if my knee is aching. And many times we experience discomfort simply because we're not moving too much and because we're connected with our body more fully. We're in touch with it, less in our heads. And so the Buddha once observed, I think very interestingly, he said, the pain of the body is disguised by the postures. And this sounds a little cryptic or strange when you hear the phrase. But what he meant was, the fact that our body experiences pain and discomfort, we disguise that by keeping on changing our posture. If we keep moving, we avoid having to face the fact that sometimes the body is not comfortable. Sometimes it hurts. And this is the nature of bodies. All bodies are like this. My body, your body, every single body. And so endeavoring to find a condition in which discomfort never arises is doomed to failure. In our practice, therefore, we learn to sit steady with discomfort, but at the same time, if there is something that we feel like this is actually not okay, maybe this is too much pressure, it's really fine also to change your posture, to straighten your leg, to stand up, to do something, to just make sure it's okay. But notice the difference between acting out of fear, oh, this could cause, you know, my knee starts to hurt, and then
I don't like it, and then I wonder, is something going wrong? And I imagine that, you know, maybe this is a really bad mistake. And before I know it, the idea of a, you know, the ambulance arriving, you know, Magandabad, comes to the to the retreat, and we are going in the ambulance to the hospital, and you know, we must live our life now with one leg only. It's going to be tough. Our mind goes so quickly to the idea of what's happening. This is not so useful. What is important is to pay attention to the experience and see, is this actually harmful? If I'm not sure, if there was a risk of it, and if there is any history of injury, vulnerability, or damage for some part of your body, maybe your knee or your hip or your foot or your back, be very respectful and gentle. But also have a little courage, because much of what we encounter in meditation is actually within the range of what's okay. If you can notice the tendency to contract around discomfort and pain, this is our habit. We squeeze, we tighten to try and avoid the experience, but in fact it intensifies it. If you become aware of that habit, you can begin to relax it, consciously softening the habit of clenching, of tightening. And if you can be relaxed with the discomfort, it's generally going to be fine. If when you change your posture after, you find that the discomfort goes away within 2-3 minutes, it's very unlikely to be doing anything damaging or harmful. Even if it goes away in 5 minutes, it's also unlikely. But I say 2 or 3 minutes because I'm pretty confident with that. And I'm not giving you a medical guarantee here, of course. You must listen for yourself. But just check it out and see. If after you sit through discomfort, you are walking, limping on one leg for the whole 30-minute walking period, then probably you're trying a little too hard, pushing a little hard on your body. And I've done this because my early teachers didn't know the difference. But in our generation, we've had opportunity to learn that actually we must be very respectful of our bodies and not force or override what is possible for us. And so if we can relax and soften, actually, also it's actually protecting those places that feel under pressure. If we tension, if we tighten or contract, that actually adds to the vulnerability that's there. And so we might also find it useful to breathe with the experience. Often we react, we say, pain, I don't like it, I want it to go away. That's understandable, I don't like it either. But the pressure of aversion, of wanting and trying to make it go away, is often the larger part of the suffering we experience with discomfort or pain. And that if we can learn and see these two are not absolutely required to go together. The suffering of discomfort in the body is actually not so great in many cases compared to the suffering of our resistance, our rejection, our blaming, our frustration, our anger, that's often directed towards our body or towards ourselves. So we need to bring a lot of kindness here. Kindness and permission. If we need to move, we can. Sometimes I've found that by giving myself permission to move when I have discomfort and it's strong or hard, but I know if it gets too much, I will move. That's okay. Then actually it's easier to stay with it because I'm not worried, what if it gets too much? What will I do? I know what I'll do. I'll move. But sometimes that fear is what gets too much. It's not the pain, it's our fear of what will happen. And it takes a little time to actually begin to see the difference. But of course this applies in so many things in our lives. We withdraw from them or try and push them away. But when we do this, our world becomes very small and very tight. And not such a happy place to live. So including those places that are not easy for us is actually an act of great compassion to our body, to ourselves. Opening up our world, our life, to be the field in which we can live, rather than something from which we are shrinking or attempting to protect ourselves from our life. So sometimes with the body, with pain, we can just usefully feel the quality of out breath, the relaxing quality of softening and releasing that helps with our habitual contraction. Just breathing out into the area. Noticing how when we call the experience pain, we've already decided we don't like it, mostly. Actually, we feel pressure, tightness and looseness, hardness and softness, or we feel heat, warmth and coolness, hot and cold. This is the only things our body can register, temperature and pressure, and changes between them. So as they change, we notice that too. And extremes of pressure are, of course, harmful to us. Extremes of temperature are, of course, harmful to us. So our system is designed to tell us, if it notices these things, pay attention to this and see if it's actually harmful. And so pain calls us to look and say, is this actually harmful? If it is, we need to respond. If it's not, we don't need to do anything. But maybe hold the place of, if we're anxious or uncomfortable, with kindness. And so there's a certain courage and dignity this brings, a willingness to meet even those places that are not so easy. But equally, when something is enjoyable, pleasurable, delightful, it's fine to let yourself feel this. But notice, if you have such experiences, how quickly and easily we want to keep it. We try to figure out how we got it and what we can do to maintain it. Maybe the mind goes quiet for a few moments, like, ah. But then the mind goes, ooh, I got it. I can do it. I'm here. It's great. And then we realize the quiet is already gone, lost in the very attempt to take hold of itself, which we can't do. So we begin again. And likewise, the world of thoughts and feelings that may call our attention, just notice it. In the development of the practice, we ultimately will include these areas very fully, but it needs some training and practice and steadying and grounding in opening and allowing these two dimensions that we've talked about. So to begin with, we don't give so much emphasis there, but not rejecting those areas of experience. When you notice thinking or emotional process, feelings, just acknowledge this is thinking, this is feeling. You might even acknowledge, oh, it's in the future, my mind is in the future, my mind is in the past. And see, okay, can I come back to here? Well, there's feelings you might notice, I'm feeling sadness, I'm feeling excitement, I feel afraid, I feel curious. Whatever you feel, it's fine. And then bring your attention into your body and notice what that feels like. What it feels like when the mind is busy in the body, what does that feel like? When the mind is quiet in the body, what does that feel like? When there is emotion, this emotion, that emotion, what does that feel like in the body? So we keep connecting back to the reference where we can ground ourselves, where things happen a little more slowly, and where there's a possibility of establishing ourselves within the field of the body, the field of the breath. These are not things or events. They're fluid, moving experiences that we connect with, which can actually include all things. So, again, bringing your attention into your body very consciously, closing the eyes and settling the posture for meditation.
taking a moment to feel the earth beneath you, the firmness of contact with your buttocks on the seat or the cushion, the chair, feet on the ground if you're in a chair, knees on the ground if sitting on the floor. The uprightness of your body, consciously establishing this rising up quality through the torso, through the body, extending into the sky. And relaxing around that central core of uprightness. So the postural muscles are engaged, but the rest of the body is allowed to release, to relax, to soften. Upright, alert, and yet relaxed and at ease. And again, tuning in, connecting with the sense of body sitting here, breathing in, breathing out. And while continuing to use this as the reference, as the ground, as the place you can always return to, and beginning to sustain the attention so far as you're able in this place, in this way. As you become more steady and stable, allowing the attention to go to sounds when they come and as they go, arising from silence as they do, and fading back into the silence when it is their time to complete. Noticing the sensations in the body that are not of the breathing, but are still the body, that feels sometimes pleasant, sometimes unpleasant experiences, and of course many experiences that are neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Noticing this too. And coming back to the body breathing. Thoughts and feelings arise, noticing. Not rejecting. Maybe just taking a moment to acknowledge what's there. And then coming back to the body breathing once more. If you feel more steady, you can spend a little longer with what else arises, the sound, the sensation. When you feel less steady, more easily drawn into mental responses of reactivity, busyness, thinking, just keep it simple. Keep on coming back to the breathing in the body, again and again and again.
Thank you. Thank you.